Hello, everybody. And let's continue. Things have not been working out for me today as I had expected, but I kind of improvised for a while before getting into commentary number 52 for Rules for Magic on the Astral Plane, because we had this big new section to begin. And I think it ends in another 9 pages. That will be the end, or 10 or 11 pages. That will be the end of rule number 10. There's one more for the astral plane, and I'll see whether I'll notify you of what's there already, or whether try to finish that next 60 pages of that next, again, rather extensive rule. So we've had the energies of the planetary spirit and of the planetary entity. And I think I should put them in here. The energies of the planetary spirit and of the the planetary entity. A third group of energies must be added. And these are the basis of much of our astrological research. They emanate from the 12 constellations which form our solar zodiac. And note, these are not signs. These are actually aggregations of stars. And the the term zodiac can be applied to both constellations and to the collection of the 12 signs, which are areas of Devic substance attuned to the various constellations. Of course, everything really has to go through our sun. The 7 rays do, and the emanations of the zodiac do as well, and thence are, I think, distributed to the various planets. Their effect is infinite. Okay, and the permutations of these three groups of energies lead to the infinite complication we find in nature. I always question whether the word infinite should be used to indicate a very big number. It really should not, because any definite number, however big, is finite and not infinite. But let's just consider it to be a huge possibility, a vast, wide-ranging, incomprehensible effect, and degrees of complication which the human mind cannot fathom. Now, further, the claim of the astrologers as to the reality of the energies playing upon the human organism can be seen to be true. Let's just say to any fair-minded observer, and even to one who studies the human face and form. Their claims as to their capacity to interpret are, for the most part, unfounded. We have still much work to do before we are successful in understanding the kinds of effects that can be expected from the impact of these energies and their their huge number of combinations. So little is really known by the highest intelligence on the planet. For forget not that the adept use primarily the intuition. So if the great masters and those beyond them on our planet know so little of the interpretive art, perhaps, what can we know? But we might say we can know enough to be helpful to people, to be useful to people. We can know something. These energies leave their mark upon every form in every kingdom and nature, acting as a retrograding or a stimulating force. So let us simply say that all forms are affected by them, either for promotion or retardation, and in many other ways too. They carry one type of energy onto a fuller expression of the quality of any form, or hold another back from a developed manifestation. So they will, I'm sure many of us have had that experience of having the wind at our back and things are going well and things are coming together for us in a way that is definitely satisfying to the desire body. Maybe, let us say, Jupiter, along with Venus, let us say, is having a powerful effect. We've also experienced, I know, the retarding, obstructing influence of that very sacred planet, Saturn, which is most necessary to the disciple and to the initiate, but nevertheless, perhaps prevents us from using our energies unwisely or spending our energy excessively. It is not opportune here to outline the nature of the true astrology. Now, this is, you know, several years before the book Esoteric Astrology came out. So this is several years before, okay, Esoteric Astrology was written first as lesson sets and later appearing in book form. That astrology is a science and a coming science is true. What are we told? The greatest and oldest of all the sciences. That astrology in its highest aspect and its true interpretation will enable man eventually to focus his understanding and function rightly is equally true. That in the revelations that astrology will make in time to come, will be found the secret of the true coordination between the soul and form is also correct. So let's just call this the beginning of a list of positive features of astrology. Yet, but that astrology is not yet to be found. Too much is overlooked and too little known to make astrology the exact science that many claim it is. The claim will be fulfilled at some future date, but the time is not yet. So, just above is given a list of the positive attributes of astrology and the way in which the full potential of astrology is not is not yet present. Well, you know, if the highest adepts on our planet cannot decipher all these combinations and their, you know, possible results, we cannot expect too much of ourselves, but we can begin to use the new astrology. And when you look at it, now we've been given a very substantial book on the subject, and more, he tells us, is to come, because he mentions astrology particularly in relation to the writing to be offered in 2025 and beyond. So there will be more on astrology. But still, much is missing. Too much is overlooked, and too little is known to make it the exact science that many claim it is. It's going to be very necessary, because if we want to coordinate the various vehicles and principles found within our Constitution and to live a purposeful life in line with the higher goals set within the soul nature, astrology will be extremely helpful. So several years after this book was written, the foundational text appeared as part of a treatise on the seven rays. Our activity in the lower worlds will be intelligently guided by esoteric astrology, and our ability to apply our intelligence in a loving and sacrificial manner will also be aided. Now, you know, so many people just dismiss astrology as irrational and hopelessly useless. But as they're in the position of the astronomer Halley, who was criticizing Newton for the study of astrology, and Newton told him, "Sir, I have studied the subject. You have not." And so I think anybody who enters into astrology in a fair-minded way will notice that there are deep truths connected with it. Certain factors which astrologers should bear in mind, and certain conditions that they are only too apt to forget, may, however, be briefly noted. I mean, we are here, let us say, we are establishing the foundation. Now, this is 90 years ago, okay. And so much has been offered in the astrological field. I remember as a young man in the late 60s, so I couldn't have been more than in my middle 20s, going to Minneapolis and finding the, what was it? Gnostica. Was it Gnostica? Something like that. Bookstore, and just the whole bottom floor was dedicated to astrology. I was as if in heaven. And I spent the entire day there. I took an early morning train and came back with more books than I should have been carrying. There was a great flowering of spiritual studies in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We'll have to see whether DK finds that it did anything successful for humanity. We do remember that he said that the release of many great artists into incarnation before their time was intended to stop, I suppose, the Martian blood and iron materialism of Germany and allies, those allies, which were emerging, or that materialism was emerging, and it didn't work. It, as beautiful as it was, the great outpouring, it just didn't work. There was something in humanity which was just too resistant. But let's see, what are these factors and what are the conditions which he'd like to start us off with as kind of a foundation. For the sake of clear understanding, we will simply tabulate a number of statements which should be studied with care by the average investigator in this field. You know, he's not saying by the supremely talented investigator or gifted scientist. He's saying, you know, people who are really interested in the subject and are looking into it. I cannot here write a treatise on the energies with which astrology should deal sorely as such a treatise is needed. Well, then he went on to do it in the mid-30s, didn't he? And he called it his most occult book because it dealt entirely with energies. So astrologers are concerning themselves primarily with three types of energies: the energy of the constellation in which the sun is posited at the time of birth, and let us call this for practical. Okay, for, no, that's 5-pointed star. That's not what I want. Okay, for practical purposes. Well, we need that. Ah, FPP, that's it. I knew I had it for practical purposes. Let us call the constellations the signs. There are sidereal astrologers. I've never seen yet that sidereal astrology is useful in terms of the form and vehicles of man, but suspect that it is useful for 6-degree initiates who are becoming planetary lives and beyond, and for the solar, for the planetary logos itself. Meanwhile, the tropical astrology deals with signs of the zodiac and not so much with the constellations, though the signs transmit the energy of the constellations. So we're dealing with three types of energies: zodiacal, constellational, the rising sign, to which a man should respond. It's a special zodiacal influence at 9 o'clock. And the 9 o'clock position in the 12-fold wheel, the rising sign is found. And then the moon, which governs his form aspect, particularly the physical form, and we do remember, don't we? By now we should begin to remember. We do remember that the moon governs the dense physical body, Earth, the etheric body, Mars, the astral body, Pluto, the mental body, and the sun, the entire personality. And, well, maybe the moon is veiling some undiscovered non-sacred planet, and the sun as well, veiling an undiscovered secondary planet. I think the moon governs, I think, an undiscovered fourth-ray planet. But those are the non-sacred planets. So the constellation, And the rising sign. And the moon. Well, there's so many other energies there as well, but he's starting us out in this way. They concern themselves primarily with three types of energies. Where's the sun, I might ask? The energy of a particular constellation or sign. You see, he really has to look at these as equivalent, even though they are not in alignment. You know, when the, let's say you're born on the first day of spring, but the background of stars aligning with the place the sun is found in the circle of signs will be a Piscean background so far, and pretty soon, in another 100 years, it looks like it will be the Aquarian background of stars. There's a lot to work out there because constellations are considered to be like 30 degrees wide, even though some are larger. At least their influence, when transposed to a sign, is considered to be a 30-degree segment. Maybe we don't have to. See, here's the thing. Suppose we were moving into the latter degrees of Virgo, as we always go backwards through a precession. In another 30 degrees, the sun would still be found against a background of Virgo and stars. And it would not have moved into a background of Libra and stars. So we pretty well have to consider that the 30 degree demarcation is useful. It's found in the signs, and that the energy qualities of the constellations, whether they are large like Virgo or maybe smaller like Cancer in terms of their longitudinal extension, do work out through a 30 degree period of the signs. The energy of the particular constellation or sign in which a man is born is more deeply significant than has ever yet been suggested. Well, there's a lot of sun sign astrology, of course, but he's going to look for the deeper meanings. It embodies or indicates his present problem, sets the pace or tempo of his life, and is related to the quality of his personality. So the sun sign can be interpreted as follows. Okay. It embodies or indicates his present problem, sets the pace or tempo. You know, some signs are fast, some are slow moving. He gave us an example of three. He says Cancer is very slow, Pisces moves in an intermediate manner, and Capricorn is fast. Am I correct in that? I think so. Or is Scorpio the middle? Well, anyway, the fastest one is Capricorn, the slowest is Cancer. It sets the tempo of his life and is related to the quality of his personality. So there's a lot about personality demonstration, which is related to the sun sign, but the question is, can one really discriminate the operation of the sun sign from the rising sign when one looks at the behavior of the individual? It governs, if I may so express it, the rajasic or activity aspect of his life during incarnation. And that would mean that the rising sign or ascendant would govern the sattvic aspect of his life. And the moon, I suppose, would be involved with the resistant, repetitive, tamasic aspect of his life. So, his present problem, the pace or tempo of his life, and, you know, it's pretty personal, and is related to the quality of his personality. It doesn't tell you immediately whether it's a refined, spiritualized personality or not. Maybe some aspects can show this to be the case. The ascendant or rising sign indicates the line along which his energy as a whole can flow if he is to fulfill the purpose of any incarnation. Let's call it, let's call this the soul purpose. So it's quite a bit different from focusing on the activity aspect to focusing on the soul purpose aspect. That's, if we follow the rising sign, then we have the possibility of a successful incarnation from the spiritual point of view. And all this, of course, if rightly handled, this, of course, if rightly handled, yes, because the guiding and the utilization of these energies is always necessary by the central intelligence. We detect energies appearing and disappearing. What do we do with them? I hear the thunder. Does that mean I'm going to be cut off? I don't know. It's possible. It holds the secret of his future, and in its symbolism and understanding, he can find the clue to his life problem and an indication of what he can be and achieve. Now, sometimes the sun sign and the rising sign are in astrological harmony, and at other times they are quite frictional, and one will have a difficult time making the transition from the sun sign to the rising sign. I guess the most stressful situation would be to have, well, let's say, the sun square the ascendant and the moon opposing the ascendant. So all of those factors would be in stress in relation to each other. The rising sign, it presents to him the type of force which will enable him to succeed. Well, if you're in the middle of your life, you can do something about it. And if you're near the end of your life, you can reflect. How has it been? And has there been success through the following of the sun, of the rising sign? It presents to him the type of force which will enable him to succeed. This, when duly consummated, might be regarded as producing the sattvic or harmony aspect of his life. So let's just say that follow the rising sign and enter the sattvic mode. Sattva is an energy of harmony and proportion and right oscillation, right rhythm. It's not hyperactive. It's not hyper, well, lethargically still. It is rightly balanced. For when it plays its part and is utilized, it produces harmony with the will of the soul during any particular incarnation. It produces harmony with the will of the soul in any particular incarnation. And I suppose we have to ask ourselves, when we have followed the moon sign, what has happened in our life? When we have followed the sun sign, what values have emerged? When we have followed the rising sign, have we been led closer to the center of our life? That is a major discrimination. Okay. I mean, I find myself, let's say, you know, as the sun, Aries, Cancer, rising, it's quite exciting to follow the Aries sun sign. But has it really delivered what in the external life is required by the soul? How much less has it delivered such than when following the Cancerian rising sign? Well, these, we have to brood upon these possibilities, these thoughts. So this is supplementary to what's found in the Esoteric Astrology book. And sometimes if we have not concentrated on the astrological writings here in a treatise on white magic, they may be coming in and be very valuable for us, filling in some missing thoughts and spaces. The moon influence, we have indicated as the native's past. Well, not the entirety, because we've been found on all the signs in our many lives. But maybe a fairly recent past. I don't think that all the signs of our past incarnations get together and somehow summarize themselves as the moon and represent themselves as past energies now available through the moon of a present incarnation. I think there's a selectivity going on there. And we can't deal with all karma at once. In any one life, we can deal with a certain measure of karma, and the measure of karma that we're meant to deal with is partially indicated by the moon sign. So in the moon influence, we have indicated the native's past. It summarizes the limitations and handicaps under which he must work, and therefore might be regarded as embodying the tamasic aspect of life. The rain has come. Okay, so it summarizes the limitations and handicaps under which he must work, and therefore might be regarded as embodying the tamasic aspect of matter, or that which holds back, and which, if permitted to influence unduly, it will have some influence in terms of our second nature, will produce inertia, which in this case would mean non-progress. The consciousness will not grow, will not progress. In the body with which man is equipped lies hid the secret of the past. Secret of past experience and every lunar form through which we have to arrive at due expression is in itself what? The product or synthesis of all the past. So basically what he's saying here is study the form and learn of the past. Whatever our condition is, it relates to what we have done in the past, unless a planet like Uranus comes along and reorganizes our condition. So let me see if I can put the present truth about astrology in such simple guise that they who know naught of this intricate science may understand. So let's get into this a little bit. He's trying to lay this out so anyone can understand, and let's see if we can understand. The birth month indicates the day of opportunity. Now, I suppose we're talking about not from the 1st to the 30th or so, but from the time the sign begins. Until it ends. All right. The door stands open. Now, this is one of the really interesting statements. The particular month, well, let's call it birth month, in which a soul comes into incarnation is indicated to that soul by the month in which it passed out of incarnation in a previous life cycle. In a previous life cycle, or the immediate one before the present incarnation. There's a little bit of room there for some variation, some speculation. But let's just say if you're born in Aries, maybe you died in Aries. That seems to be the indication. If it, for instance, died in the month governed by the sign Leo, that's not all of August, right? It will return into incarnation in the same sign, picking up the thread of experience where it left it and starting with the same type of energy and the peculiar equipment with which it passed away from Earth life, plus the gain of thought and conscious onlooking, and this gain presumably occurs between lives, I guess. Right. You know, we have to be careful. He's explaining it to us in a way that anyone can understand, and yet there may be little hidden factors here that we little suspect. So the month governed by Leo can also be late July, let us say, and the first two-thirds roughly of the month of August. It will return into incarnation in the same sign. So if we're trying to retrace our past lives, maybe we have a little bit of a hint. If it is the life immediately before, we don't know whether the present life is linked to the one immediately before or to another life. But if we're talking about coming in with the same peculiar equipment with which it passed out or passed away from Earth, then This must be cumulative. With which it passed away from earth life, plus the gain of thought and conscious onlooking. The quality of the energy and the nature of the forces to be manipulated during life are indicated to the soul in this way. Manipulated is interesting because we work with them. We work with what we have achieved. We work with what we're given. And there is apparently here, there is continuity. Okay. This is a very important paragraph, of course. It's so simple, but it seems to be something that every student of esoteric astrology, the book Esoteric Astrology by the Tibetan, seems to be aware of, even though it's in another book. So in general, we return in the same sign. I've sometimes looked for modifications of this. Does this mean perhaps if the sun has progressed into one of the next two signs, you return that way? What we really need is a continuity of study provided by understanding exactly who an individual was in a previous incarnation. We know, for instance, that Blavatsky, Madame Blavatsky, whose horoscope we have, was Cagliostro, who died in the Inquisition, a dungeon, but maybe we don't know exactly when Cagliostro died in a very reliable way. We know that Sir Francis Bacon became Master R and perhaps was born to a Hungarian nobleman by the name of Rákóczi. But we don't know the date of his death as Bacon, and we don't even know if we can trust it, because some of these great ones feign death. And we don't really know the date of his birth. So we are hampered in that way. We don't have reliable information which demonstrates the continuity of death and birth occurring in the same sign. I wonder why he refers to it as the month. You know, when he thinks about the month, well, it is about a month long. The duration of an astrological month is the same as the duration of a normal calendar month, more or less. So maybe that's why he uses the word month. The rising sign, embodying another type of energy, should wax in strength during the incarnation, should wax, i.e., should rise, which is an obvious play on words. Rising sign is not only rising, found at the eastern horizon. It's not only that, it's just that psychologically it should be getting stronger, and physically and in every way. It should wax in strength during the incarnation. Now we can test ourselves, has it been so? When you think about your life, has the sign on the ascendant grown stronger in relation, let us say, to the sun sign, as that would indicate the ascendancy of soul tendencies over personality tendencies? For it indicates the nature of the soul force that the incarnated Son of God is seeking to wield through the medium of a particular personality possessing certain characteristics. indicates the nature of the soul force. I'll make that part a little bigger. Excuse me. That the incarnated Son of God is seeking to wield through the medium of a particular personality. Well, in a way, if you know the spiritual possibilities of your rising sign, you already know a lot. And if you can look at your life and apply your rising sign spiritually, then you will make progress. So can we examine our lives and see our life, our incarnation, and see, have we done this? Because it's so simple in a way, you know, maybe astrologers make a mistake by getting too complex too quickly. But in fact, you can learn much by examining your life in terms of whether the rising, the spiritual factors within the rising sign have increased. The influence of the moon is primarily physical, but by physical do we mean personal? That's a question. Because in a way the personality is the third aspect, is the physical nature. The soul is the second aspect. And the monad the first. So in a way, the personality exists within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. So do we mean by this the vehicles of the personality? Because in a way, the sun is synthesizing the entire personality. The prison of the soul is thus indicated. And that's one of those very important statements. You cannot break beyond the walls of a prison. You cannot escape. You cannot have wider experience. The handicaps to be met, and they have to be met, of course, are thus secured. Thus secured, or let's just say, we would say, realized in the mind. The type of body or of bodies, see, in other words, we can be talking about subtle bodies too, also talking about subtle bodies, the type of body or bodies through which the force of the native sign and the quality of the energy which will bring him to his goal are thus defined, through which the force of the native sign, assuming sun sign, and the quality of the energy which will bring him to his goal are thus defined. So all three are given. Okay. Through the medium of the lunar lords, and what they have given him as a result of past experience down the ages, he must express himself on the physical plane. The nature of the vehicles is generated from the members of the atomic TR. ATRL. Okay. Well, that takes me back here again. Atomic triangle. Okay, ATRL. Atomic triangle. Consisting of the mental unit, the astral permanent atom, and the physical or etheric permanent atom. Okay. So there is a cumulative effect, and they are in a certain condition, and we are dealing with that condition, which has to be the condition of the personality vehicles has to be regenerated. So we must regenerate the lunar influence. And again, the question is, as we look at our lives, have we done so? Owing to the, well, there's so much here. And in my analysis of the Esoteric Astrology book, I'm sure I've gotten into all this in a fairly deep way. I hope so. But we have to ask ourselves, what is our prison? What really leads us forward into more spiritual living? And what is the main and probable energy that we will be dealing with if we're not really on the spiritual path? It will be the sun sign energy, the sun of probability, the sun sign is the sun of probability, and the rising sign is the potency of the sun of possibility. That's what it is. Yeah, that was a, this is not a hermetically sealed situation, and telephone calls do come in. Anyway, the rising sign, the potency of the sun of possibility could happen if one is spiritually oriented. It will happen in a personal way anyway, but and be added to the personal energies of the sun sign. But if it's going to be a spiritual influence, that's another higher turn of the spiral, and it's possible, though not for most people, probable because the sun sign gives the energies which will be manipulated, let me say. Okay. So we have those three major signs, and owing to the precession of the equinoxes, the situation is brought about in which a fourth type of force makes its presence itself felt. The sun is, in reality, many degrees away in the great round of the heavens from where it is stated to be. Let's say if I have my sun in a tropical Aries toward the end, it's going to be really in tropical, it's going to be in sidereal Pisces towards the end. Right now, we're almost 30 degrees apart because the Aquarian age is about to begin, and we are adding 1 degree every 72 years, approximately, in the precession of the equinoxes. The sun is in reality many degrees away from the in the great round of the heavens from where it is stated to be. So behind let's see, behind, let's say, my sun in Aries will be the constellation Pisces. Now, if we wait a little while, behind my sun in Aries will be the constellation, the stars of Aquarius. They will be appearing to move backwards, even as the sun tropically appears to move forward. So this is just the usual difference between the tropical and sidereal zodiac, and the tropical actually has an esoteric meaning, as we learn on page it's either 61 or 63 of esoteric astrology. When the sun is in Aries, it's not an exoteric reality. It's not exoterically true, but it is an esoteric fact. This, of course, from the standpoint of time. As the sweep of the sun through a constellation covers a period of approximately 2,200 years, 2160 is the actual, well, is the figure. The shift in the course of the centuries is very slight, so slight that little difference will be noted in the casting of the planetary horoscope, which we cannot yet do. In the casting of the horoscope of a solar system, it would be of vital importance, but this is so far beyond the capacity of the wisest astrologer on our planet that discussion is immaterial. So maybe I will refrain from getting into that. You know, we do know where the duration of a solar system, objectively and subjectively, is said to be 311 trillion years. We don't know. We're approximately midway through, and that means that we're focused very much within the physical etheric solar system, as some of the focusing had to take place on the subjective levels. But if you're halfway through and there is a descending and ascending cycle, you're pretty much focusing on the dense level. So I will refrain, although I'm tempted, and I'm sure some of my friends have something of interest to say on this. In the casting of the horoscope of a human being who is born in a particular month, however, it should be borne in mind, which it seldom is, that now the month and the sign do not coincide. Due to the precession of the equinoxes, see at the beginning of Aries, 2,000 years ago, tropical Aries, the vernal equinox was lined up with the last part of Pisces, because we enter each constellation retrogressively, the last part of the constellation Pisces. And then that vernal equinox has appeared to move against the background of stars due to the gyration top-like of the Earth's axis. And in the year 2117, either exactly or approximately, that same vernal equinox will be pointing to the area of the sky where the later degrees of the constellation Aquarius can be found, in fact, the 30th degree. The correct interpretation, therefore, of a chart is largely psychometrical and dependent upon the thought form of the constellation, which has been built up for ages by the astrologers, and which have been planted by the members of the hierarchy long ago. So the signs and the thought forms have a close relation. The constellations and the thought forms, well, let's just say the thought forms are derivative of the energies of the constellations. Energy follows thought. For thousands of years, certain types of energy and their consequent qualifying effects on substance and form have considered to be thus and so, therefore, thus they are. Except in the case of the highly evolved, of the true aspirant, now that term is usually indicating the first degree anyway, of the true aspirant who has oriented himself and is thus escaping from the wheel of existence and beginning to govern his stars. If you're going to, well, he's beginning to. This escape occurs fully at the fourth degree, after which physical incarnation is no longer necessary. And beginning to govern his stars, and so is no longer under their rule and dominion. Well, I'm impressed by how deep in fundamental astrology this book goes. It really ventures in, and it says some quite subtle things. And some people are purely sidereal astrologers, and they say, the tropical zodiac is illusory because the stars are there and the sign is not lined up with the stars. However, we do have to remember DK's statement, and maybe I should just find it, you know, in esoteric astrology. Either it's on page, well, let's try page 63. The month and the sign or the place of the sun in the heavens do not really coincide when we state, for instance, that the sun is in Aries. Yeah, okay, I got it a little wrong before. I reversed the word truth and fact. If the sun is in Aries, it conveys an esoteric truth, but not an exoteric fact. Because at the moment, the sun constellationally is in Pisces, though moving towards the earliest degree of Pisces and getting ready to move into the latest or the final degree of the constellation Aquarius. The sun was in Aries at the beginning of this great cycle, but it is not in exactly the same position today when it is found in the sign. So found in the sign, it will be pointing to a different set of background stars in the constellation of Pisces and later in the constellation of Aquarius. Okay, friends, this has been a day of temporal disruption. I just have to now get ready for a broadcast on the triangles. So what I'm going to do is carry this forward. And we have begun on page 434. And now we are concluding this first little program on page 437. So here we are. And this will be starting at 10:37 and the end of 10:36. And we're starting at 4:34 and we're on 4:37. And we're going to begin with 4:37. And it will be program number 53. And we have just ended program number 52. Well, it's been a long time since I, since I worked on the book Esoteric Astrology, and I tried to be as complete about it as I could be, going word for word, line for line, and so forth through the entire book. And much more is found there, but here are some very interesting foundational hints, and they are important, and we'll try to grasp from them what we can. Okay, now on to the triangles, and maybe some of you will be joining us at an earlier time than this is released. Here we have, page 434 to 437. Okay, that ought to be enough, hopefully. If I made a little mistake, then I'll correct it ahead. So we'll be seeing you. Take care. Study hard.